This is going to be hard tonight. I feel like a basket case already. I remember Chris standing up here and she said to me, "Oh, Dave, surely you can't put another nation in your heart." I remember standing up. Do you remember when she stood up in the Pittsburgh church on the
side? It's lovely.
You're going to have to forgive me tonight. I've lived for days like this. Dreamt of days. Stood in front of the church, she said, "I prayed I wouldn't like you. But," she said, "I like you so much, can I come back again?" You know, found a place on our prayer list. She found a place in our heart. The worship was just immense tonight. Was this morning. I don't think I've ever experienced a morning meeting anywhere in the world like this morning. I'm serious. I've been in thousands and thousands of meetings in all sorts of nations. I felt, as Ruth was worshiping this morning, I felt like I was listening to the angels right next to me. I don't know about you. Anybody else feel that? Or is it just me being emotional? I look around the room and see so many people that we've grown to love and respect. Paul and Ravana there, Roger Moore over there. My brother, you from New Frontiers, welcome. Just stand if you're here for the first time tonight. Hey, it's nice to see Tony and Patty. It's complete in the family. This is good. Steph, is that you over there? Looking good? You're welcome them. Let's just welcome them. And then Vive starts singing that song. That's a Zimbabwean song. When I was there earlier this year, I'm listening to them singing this song. 10% inflation. 85% unemployment. Every family I know ravaged by AIDS. Some of our people been murdered. And they sing. I'd gone there from Kenya, and we'd had 12,000 together and fed every one of them on the same day to celebrate the 25th birthday of the church we served there. We sang that song. And on my Bible is the word that the prophets, how I love the prophets, gave me many years ago. I'll give you as a light. Isaiah 49. And I feel like I'm going to be a ministry schizophrenic tonight. I felt like that Sunday morning when we had that phenomenal time in Kirsten. I prayed for days when I would see black and white worship together, live together, love together, and stay in the same family. I failed in Zimbabwe. We started with 70% white and 30% black. We brought in a black leader. Very soon became 99.99% black. My dream evaporated. Sunday morning. Lord, I could go home and be with you. Sorry, Chris. I could go home and be with you now because I've seen my dream come true. I dream dreams. Do you? I hope you dream. Not wild fantasies, dreams. Dreams given by heaven. That we believe that what God has done in heaven, many tribes worshiping around the throne, many tongues, we will see it on earth. I pray your kingdom come on earth, even as it is in heaven. Now I'm going to go schizophrenic. I'll do a little bit prophetic and then a little bit apostolic and see if we can get away with it tonight. And I'll try and hold my emotions together, but I can't promise. Just turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 31. You know, sometimes you get a word and you think, is it really for this people? I felt the Lord wake me up early one morning when we were back home in England. We just come back from Denmark. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, go downstairs. So I got up early and no one was around but Jesus. I could feel His quiet presence. Jeremiah 31. And He said to me, Jeremiah, I thought, I remember the last time You spoke to me out of Jeremiah and Lamentations, and I wasn't too happy for a while. Surely, Lord. No, He said. I didn't know when to deliver it. I knew that sometime it would be during the conference, but we focus in on E4, and I just feel like tonight. I'll try, and I hope that the Holy Spirit helps me. I felt God said He had a promise for you. I love the Valley of Achor. It's a door of hope in the midst of something that's terrible. But I feel tonight, it was so emotional. When the word came to me, I sat in my living room just crying. But I felt tonight God was saying this. Please hear the spirit in which I bring you. If we don't draw a line on the past tonight, we'll end up like Lot's wife. Make your mind up. You want the pillar of salt. You want the city of gold. This was the promise He put in my heart. At that time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel. They should be. I get my emotions, I start thinking about. I shall be your God, and you shall be my people. I am a prisoner of the Lord. I said the other night about those Nepali Christians. Oh, this was in Kirksville, with the numbers tattooed on their wrists. 1 year, one lot of tattoos if you were born again. 2 lots of tattoos if you'd been baptized in water. Signified you'd had 2 years in jail because you passed from under the king, Birendra, who was a god at that time. And you come under the lordship of Christ. I am a prisoner of the Lord. Whose prisoner? Thus said the Lord, the people who survived the sword, listen to this. We're the people who survived the sword. Listen to this, people who survived the sword. They found grace in the world. Tonight I want to proclaim to you, you found grace in the world. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from afar. When I thought about you, I got overwhelmed with this next one. Saints, He has loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, He continues His faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built. O Virgin Israel, again you shall adorn yourself with timbrels and shall go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Promise. Next promise. Again you shall plant vineyards. E4 interchange will be of no use unless we start to plant vineyards. Upon the mountains of Samaria, the planters shall plant. They shall enjoy the fruit. The time is coming to plant again. Listen to this. There'll be a day when the watchman will call in the hill country of Ephraim, arise, and let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. Watch out for Ephraim, God's firstborn. Watch out for him. Ephraim was a twisted bow who turned back on the day of battle. You couldn't trust him. And yet God says, even those you couldn't trust, somehow will turn back and become watchmen. It's a promise. I said, Lord, how can we trust those that we couldn't trust? He said, trust me, that'll be okay. Those who trust in the Lord should be like Mount Zion. They won't be moved. But thus saith the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob. Raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise and say, the Lord has saved his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I'll bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest places of the earth. Among them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her who is in travail together, a great company they shall return. That's a promise. This place won't be big enough for us. Doug, you're going to turn around and say, who are these children that have been born to us in the time of our bereavement? There's grace in the wilderness. It's nothing to do with us. It's to do with his grace in the wilderness. With weeping they shall come. With consolations I'll lead them back. I'll make them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. Why? Because I'm a father to Israel and Ephraim, my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations. And declare it in the coastlands afar off. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him. And he'll keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob. I love that word, ransom. Say ransom. Do you like that word? You would do if you'd been kidnapped. We were kidnapped. And the Lord has ransomed. That's why we should be. Man, that's a shout of joy. As a family, we were ransomed. Because we've been kidnapped. But God has bought us with a price. And he's given us a hope and a future. Together. He's redeemed from hands too strong for him. Sometimes the enemy seems so big and so strong around us. But God says, I'll redeem you from hands too strong. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant. I love that. The English, the Bible teachers will go have a field day with this one, this thing. 3-point message. Ransom, redeemed, radiant. 3 R's. That'll do. And if the guy's name was Raymond Richards who preached it, they'd think that was a really sensational sermon. The goodness of the Lord over the grain, the wine, and the oil. Provision will come again in the house of God. It's here. We've seen it as we've traveled on this trip. You know what? The cupboard is not bare. There's food in the house. Over the young of the flock and the herd, their life shall be like a water garden, my goodness. And they shall languish no more. Then shall the maidens rejoice in the dance. And the young men and the old men shall be merry. Glad you're here, Pop Dan. Glad you're here. Now, I don't know of a more merry old man than Pop Dan. Now, that's a key for a song. Harold, you could write us a song about that. Old Pop Dan was a merry old man, and a merry old man was he. Doesn't that sound anointed? Do you want to sing it? But you know what? Because of fathers like that,
yeah.
We want to honor you tonight. Rachel is up in heaven waiting, but we want you down here a lot longer. Yes. 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 We survive on the prayer of the saints. Yes. Honor. Where honor's due, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And do us a favor, Pop Dan. Finish well. Finish well. Run to the tape. Finish well. We need you. I'll turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. Many years ago, one of Steve's prophets prophesied over me, "You will sow in tears, and other people will reap with shouts of joy." I said, "God, what a commission." And then I read what the Apostle Paul said, and he said, "Death works in me, but life might." Can I say to you, this death has been worth it? And I'm still not dead yet, as I've proved on several days this week. And I've been at the altar faster than most people. I love living with you guys because you help me to repent quickly. I'll comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will feast the soul of the priest with abundance. Look at this. "And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness," says the Lord. For the first time in Israel's history, Jeremiah says, his people will be satisfied with him. First time. Are you going to be satisfied with him, or do you need more? When I look at my wife, I don't need anyone else. That's not selfish. I'm satisfied. Look at my God. I'm satisfied. I don't need more. Because of his goodness. Not for the things he does for me, but for who he is. When I got to this next verse, we lived this for 9 years. We have such a heart for those that are barren, as we were barren. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. If you've never heard the cry of a barren woman, you've never heard that cry. It's an ache. It's a long. It's an insatiable desire. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are not. Steve was hitting some incredible things over the last few days. The crux of all of this is about birth. God's restoring us so we can give birth. God's cleaning out our tubes. God's sorting out our sperm count. God's bringing us up to a level of fertility. God's bringing us to a place where we won't be selfish in our walk with him, but we'll reproduce ourselves. And the Lord says something remarkable. Keep your voice from weeping. When we had no children, every month Chris would face a period, you know, and we'd think, we so much thought it would be this month. I would hold her while she cried. But then afterwards, I'd go off in a room and cry on my own. God said, "I'll give you three." We've got three. It's cost us a fortune. But it was worth receiving the promise of God. Now it's six. And 1 3/4 grandchildren. The other bit should arrive December 17th. I thank God. Keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. Your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. They shall come back from the land of the enemy. There's hope for your future, says the Lord. And your children shall come back to their own country. Would you like to just call on the Lord right now and say, I'll have that promise. Immediately I said that, you heard names. You saw faces. Let's just stop a minute. Call on him. Call on him. Come on, sir. Come on. Call on him. I read this and I shout this. What was that other word, Doug? Connection and? Say again. Doesn't sound like Doug Craybound to me. I can't hear that. No, I still can't hear that. Coordination. As I was waiting on the Lord for this, my phone goes. It's a guy who's not spoken to me for over 10 years. He's gone out to a new church plant, David Hawker, David and Joyce. They're in their 70s now. And they've gone to a new church plant. They said, we've gone to support a new young leader in a new church plant in our city. In Birmingham. But we were praying for you this morning. We don't know why, but suddenly the Spirit of God came upon us and we started to pray for you. And this is the word God gave us for you. And it's verse 21. We don't know where you are in the world and we don't know where you're going. I said, I'm sitting at home and I'm about to go to America. And this word is what I was reading this morning. Set up waymarks for yourself. Make yourself guideposts. Consider well the highway by the road which you went. When you're not sure which way to go, they said, listen for the voice behind you that says, this is the way. Walk in it. This is not a conference. This is a waymark. This is not a conference. This is a guidepost. This is considering the highway. On the road on which we go. Verse 25. I'll tell you what, I'll read from verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, once more they shall use these words in the land of Judah and in its cities when I restore their fortunes. The Lord bless you, O habitation of righteousness, O holy hill. And Judah and all his cities shall dwell there together, and the farmers and those who wander with their flocks. How many of you know the next verse could be helpful for us? For I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. Some of us are beaten up with this. God is going to give you. And then the prophet says this, therefore I awoke and looked, and my sleep was pleasant to me. Isn't the Bible natural? How many of you would like a dream like that? Because that's the dream God wants in you. A dream of restoration, a dream of hope, a dream of purpose, a dream of promise. Now this is for all of us, but I want to say this to Waverly. This is for you too. This is not for everybody. And not you. This is for you too. I want to say for Omaha, this is for you. God hasn't even started. There's a sense in our spirits that it's going to be good to plant. It's also good to strengthen. And God knows your cries and he knows your conversations. Be careful with them. But God is for you, not against you. And God will increase. And God will bring this to pass. How do I know? Because God is not a man. That's how I know. How else do I know?
because he can't help his nature, which is to bring us grace in the wilderness. Let's just stand together. Steve, would you come and pray for us? Would you grab the mic and just come and pray? We have lived in the wilderness in England. And we've seen what was desert begin to bloom. And God doesn't favor us. Even though you rascals rebelled and ran away from us in the history books. And we've told you, we were gracious even then. How gracious can it be? I've said this so many times to you, that we would walk through your woods in red coats so you could shoot us. And now we've returned redemptively to walk with you and march with you and help you under a different banner. And do you know why we're here tonight? Because we, Chris and I, and Steve, we owe so much to your nation. I've said this so many times. We sat at the feet of Bob and Charles and Vern. We sat at the feet of Don, Derek, Dennis Peacock, guys who came and served us when we were nothing. We were no one. But God saw that we were in the wilderness crying out. And he said, they don't know much, but they're available. We'll help those poor English people. We'll send some Americans. And I said to the Lord one day, I'd love to return the compliment. And many years ago, a prophet stood up and he said in our church, I see England and I see America. And I see a great sea between the two. And I thought, that's obvious. He said, I see you going across to America, and then it suddenly stops. And for many years, you don't go. And an angry sea turns against you, and you're kept out. And one day the sea turns, and the problem will be getting you back. That was prophesied in the 70s. God has been faithful. And I am honored to work among. Pinch myself every day that I can't believe that you've allowed me to do this. Thank you for the privilege.
Father, we bless you again that you are such a redemptive and restoring God. We thank you that you have never ever given us what we deserve. But you have always, always showered us with blessing and redemption and restoration and forgiveness and grace. And Father, we want to thank you together for these words that you have spoken over us. I thank you for these words that you've spoken over these people tonight of your plans and purposes. I thank you that you are a faithful God. I thank you that you have taken us by the hand and you never let us go. I thank you that you are our God and you have made us your people.
Yes.
Lord, this is a marriage covenant. You have made us a people of covenant, and you have covenanted yourself to us. And I thank you that you have covenanted yourself to these people, and you have never let them go. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray that you would send down your Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would drive out every last vestige. You'd wash all the memories, the insecurities, the fears, the hesitations, the fear of commitment, fear of being abused in some way. I pray, Lord God, that you would wash it all away in the name of Jesus. I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would draw a line. This day, in Jesus' name. and that you would once and for all deliver your people from every hesitant spirit, every hesitation that would stop them moving forward in the way that you're calling them to, in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray that you would send down into every single heart of every leader, every saint here, such hope, such faith, such a sense of the glorious future that calls them forward, and the hope that there is in Christ, that each one may get up joyfully and follow you, Lord, the way that you're leading, in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you would knit the hearts of these people together into a covenant people, yet more deeply, Lord God. People who are resolved to walk with you and to walk with one another in comfort love, in covenant love. And I pray, Lord God, that you would give them great joy together. Lord, that you give them a great sense of excitement that you are leading them forward. You've taken them by the hand and your mighty hand is still upon them. And I pray, Lord God, that you would help every single person here and those in the churches that are represented here put their tiny hand in your great big hand and walk with you. Lord, I pray that it be a walk of faith and a walk of trust and a walk of grace and a walk of joy that would lead them forward to a glorious and fruitful future. Lord, thank you that that's what you want. I pray that you give them many children. Many, 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 many children in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that this people will be multiplied by the grace of God working amongst them. And you'd cause them to leave behind the former things. To leave behind the former things and to embrace the new things that you are doing. Do it, I pray, by your Holy Spirit. I felt the Lord gave me a psalm, and it's connected with what Dave has just said and what we've just prayed and going forward and what's coming in terms of praying for the new generation. And I'd like just to read it. It's a well-known psalm, but it has in it two mighty edicts which come from the throne. And when God issues an edict, it's incontrovertible. It can't be undone. It can't be turned around. And here we are. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion. You will rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle. Arrayed in holy majesty from the womb of the dawn, you will receive the dew of your youth. The first edict is this, that God means to extend his mighty scepter through you, his people. From Zion, through Zion, in Zion, out of Zion, into nations. The Lord means to extend it. He's issued an edict. It cannot be undone. Your troops will be willing. There are tons and tons and tons of volunteers out there. Volunteers who want to serve the Lord. Your troops, you won't have to press people into work. You won't have to press people into service. Your troops will be willing. There's a new generation of willing people arising. It is amongst the young people. The Lord wants to say he's going to do it. You're going to see a whole new generation arise. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a king priest. Or was he a priest king? We don't know. He was a priest and a king and a priest. He ruled through his relationship with God. God has called you and issued an edict over you. You are to be a people who rule through your relationship with God. And God's calling you to be a priestly people who will rule in the towns and the villages and the cities that you live, not by political influence, not by social pressure, but by the power of your relationship with Him. And you will call down blessings around you. And you will call down blessings on your towns and villages and cities. And you will call down the favor of your God. And you will see the grace of God come down in those communities. This is an edict that He has issued, and it will not be undone.
Thanks, Steve. Let's just sit down a moment. I'm not going to bring this other word. I'm not a Bible teacher that has to preach everything. Okay. I'll touch a little bit of it tomorrow morning, but I feel I've delivered what God put in my heart. So, Buck, why don't you come and rescue me? Guys, can you see how we need to work in team and why we work in team? I'm just looking at Frank here. What a difference he's made to us. We can't keep him away from here. Yeah, he's got work to do in Denmark. Our team's waiting in Denmark. They're waiting in the west coast of Sweden, where we'll be in 12 days or so time. Tom's flying over shortly, and he's filling in for Doug on the east coast of Sweden. We're looking at what we do together next year. We're talking with Don and Cherie about coming and looking at the pastoral training program, and over in UK, spend time with us and see how we can look at that as a way of serving you. Maybe then, if they feel it's right in the Lord. I thought I'd do this publicly so it just put a bit of pressure on you too. If they feel it's right in the Lord, that was something that we start to put together with a view to moving. Because we're trying to think strategically. As we go through E4 and as we equip you to be people who fix what's broken and do new things, we're going to need good pastoral care in what comes in. And just before you say that, how many of you love Don and Cherie? How many of you? Man, why don't you stand, you two? Just stand up. This is a mother and father in our midst. Lord, bring it on. More shepherds in your flock, we pray in Jesus' name. More shepherds. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. There are two couples that Chris and I know in the earth that we've said if ever we needed to be in a church, we'd be happy to be pastored by. Don and Sharia one. And Graham and Deirdre Coombs in South Kent in England. We look after one another. And we mean that. Saints, let's give honour where honour's due. Come here. Now this guy. When the prophets that I work with, God moved them into other fields. God was kind to me and brought Buck along. That's all I want to say. You know the story. See the fruit. Between now and Christmas, we'll be here and then in Finland and Sweden, and then we go to the Philippines, and then we're in UK, and we're back here in January. And then he's going to leave me and go to India with someone else. But it'd be one of his sons. And saints, we want to just say to you that we've entered a partnership of giving and receiving. and it won't stop at a few of us. Okay? Do you love this guy? I'm going to do what he does to me. He does this. He says, do you love this guy? Do you love this guy? Is he...
You may be seated. I guess last night when we were going through the line, and no, it was today when we were going through the line at lunch, there were these wonderful buffet. There were all kinds of things that were getting ready to be served to people, and I was looking at all the different things that had been so wonderfully crafted, and my eye fell on one of these beautiful little desserts, and there were two wonderful, young, beautiful women there. And I asked them, I said, what is this called? And they said, this is ooey gooey cake. And I thought, I think I need a piece of that. And this has been a very rich atmosphere. There is something I think that God has been doing throughout this conference. And in one way, this is a climax of something. It's like a trumpet sound, because the meeting is going to change here in just a minute, and a new beginning is going to happen. But the fathers have come forward tonight, and I tell you what, I really appreciate and love Dave and Chris Richards. They are my pastors, and I really love Steve Thomas. He has been an instrumental influence into the lives of the so many churches throughout the world, and also the European team, and even here during this time. And I think we can receive him as a father, don't you think? The fathers have spoken tonight, and just like in the Old Testament, where you had fathers that would come and they would bless their children, they would bless them in ways where they would speak over them the promises that they knew were going to be given by God to them. And that's what's happened tonight. Usually when they did this, it was because it was the closing of a chapter and the beginning of a new chapter. And that's what's happened tonight. Dave has eloquently stated and began this meeting, his time in speaking about not looking backwards, but going forward. Not going back to a pillar of salt, but moving toward the city of gold. How many of you are ready to move toward that city? And what does that look like? I haven't got a clue. But I do know this, God does. And I do know that on this journey, there's nobody that I would rather walk on this journey with but you. And I think we can say that to each other. And it's taken us a long time to get to this place. But at the same time, it's been rich. It's been wonderful. So a new chapter is beginning. And you can feel the atmosphere of what has been going on. And the worship has just been explosive during today. You just feel like the Father has been carrying us into the throne and been raining upon us, washing us, and doing things in that we could not do even if we tried to do. He's just done it. And so it's time for a new beginning. Are you ready for that? Yes. And a trumpet sound, actually a cannon, is getting ready to go off. I really think that's a good way to say it. And it's a cannon that is serving notice to the enemy that God is king and that the kingdom of God is getting ready to advance in a new way. Are you ready for that? And so I'm going to ask for Doug and Tom to come and to lead us into this next part. And since we're giving honor on people, Doug Craigbaum is my oldest friend. We are not alike. Younger, and he would say he's better looking than I am.
In the old days, when video games were very, very primitive, one of the means that we used to have fellowship, you would think that we would come together and we would pray a lot, but actually in our times of fellowship, it was also a lot of fun. And we had this old Intellivision game where we played a football game, and he was the Oklahoma Sooners and I was the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Don White, I just want you to know I never won. He knew all the moves. I couldn't get around him. But it's been a wonderful relationship. I've known Tom now for many, many years. He's a brother. He's more than that. He's become like bone. We understand each other in ways where I can look at him and I know what he's thinking. And boy, can he look at me and know what I'm thinking. It's good. It's life. And their wives are precious. And they've been very much a part of this new thing that God has been doing. A new team has been formed, an apostolic team that is on the ground. And Tom and Doug have been very instrumental in being a part of this. And so, in leading this, and Doug in leading this family of churches, and Tom standing right next to him. And now there are others. There's Dave Limmer, and there's Pat Forbes, and you've heard about Donna Shree and the things that they're going to be doing, and who knows what God's going to be doing in the future.
This is pretty tremendous what's happening tonight. I thought Buck has kind of summed it up well. There's like our fathers have come in to bless us towards the future and recognizing that something significant has happened among us. And there really is, you know, you say you approach evenings and you get this sense, I don't know what you came expecting tonight. We didn't know what we came expecting tonight, but we just knew God wanted to do something. And there really is a line here that's being drawn. There really is. And, you know, as God has brought us through, it's like, again, I want to encourage you to read the introduction that Kathy has written for this website when you get a chance. That was really good. It's like we're here and God has kept us together and assembled us together. And we really, would you say we've become a family of families? Now, yes, we've got ways to go. But as far as can we just honor what God has done among us? Amen. We're a family of families. We look around. Yeah, go ahead if you want to clap. And there is this sense among us as God has drawn a line that there is a journey ahead of us. And He's called us together as a family on a journey. And I'm very thankful for that God's given us a future. Because even though we know the Word says He has a future for us, how many of you know sometimes you don't see it very well? And it looks like something's ending. But then God graciously takes you and begins to move you and show you the future. And I feel like that again tonight. That a line's been drawn on the past and we're seeing a future that's bright. And it, as He's called us to gather together here, we know as Tom and I, we've walked together over these last few years and some pretty difficult not always easy times, but God, in the midst of our differences and stuff, God has done something and joined us together. And as He's joined us with all of you. Some of you say, well, we were joined. Yeah, we were, but He kind of joined us more, didn't He? Don't you think, in the last several years? And we've had a, you know, as you go forward on a journey together, I think back in the Bible of Abraham leaving and going and God said, just go, you know, go to a place I'm going to show you. And then we find from the New Testament, it was like He was looking for something. He's looking for the city of God. Never found it really in this life, but He was sure motivated by that call to go forward. We see the children of Israel going forward. And what was they were going to a land God was showing them, but how did they know the strategy? Well, you follow the cloud. When the cloud moves, that kind of strategy is not always comfortable for people like me. And I don't know how you are, But in following the cloud and looking for God's strategy, it's not necessarily an exact science all the time. It's like we just look to follow Him as He's moving us forward. And we've had a heart and a burden to make, because how many of you know we're multi-generational? Isn't that what's been in your heart and what's grown in your heart? We know there's no success without successors. We know we have a concern for generations coming behind us. We've had a great burden for the generation coming. And we've tried to look and seek God for ways to see them come together, not just to get restored, but to go forward and into all that God has for them. And last year as we were praying, we really felt like, you know what, there needs to be a group set aside that can really serve this generation. You look in the Bible, you've got ordinations, you've got commissions, you know, but there's something about when you're getting commissioned or set aside or for a journey. That's different than a fixed object. And we felt like that there was a need for people to begin to come together that can serve this generation coming on a journey, not a fixed spot. And so we begin to pray and look and seek and talk about different people from the various churches that really felt like had a call and an ability, a God thing in them where they could come and serve this next generation. Help give them direction. Help a sense to dream the dreams of God for them and help them along as they follow the journey. Not leaving us, but in a sense, as we try to, we'll be running to try to keep up with guys like Danny. But as fathers, just standing behind them to support them as they go forward to see this generation come into all the fullness. And the things of Jeremiah 31, to see that happen. And we believe we're on to something. So we talked with the pastors and different ones and talked about these guys. And they joyfully release them to serve in this capacity. So tonight we felt like, you know what? There ought to be a commissioning. They've already been meeting together under the leadership of Danny and Sarah and Obi and Andrea have kind of joined a kind of a system, and then the rest of the people are coming as a team. They've already been meeting together, seeking the Lord for direction and how can we serve this generation to stimulate the things that we see in Jeremiah 31. And so what we felt to do tonight is we ought to just somehow commission them as leaders and fathers and people and say, come on, go do the thing. God's with you. And just let's see what He would do. Are you up for that? Can we have that team of people come up here across the front? And as they come up, we want the elders that walk with these guys and are spiritual moms and dads to them. I know this may be a little room problem, but we're going to try the best we can. If you guys could just face that direction, and maybe some of the elders and leaders could come up. Get close together like you like each other. Is that all right? I know you do. Even though you've had enough meetings to know that there's some differences, you still love each other. Can we come on around, leaders? Come up across the front with them. Jesus. I know, Scott, why don't you come up? I think there will be some prophetic words here. I know you came with one. Hallelujah. Guys, this is a holy moment. Something important getting ready to happen here. This isn't just protocol. But God does something in these times, some of which you only can look back and say, oh man, God did something there. He launched something there. He imparted something there. I think even of Timothy, Paul pointing him back, remember that prophetic word that was given you when your hands were laid on you. Fight by that word. You know that? That's the kind of significance we're talking about here. I'm just going to pray over us as we begin to just go to the Lord. And please, guys, this is not a spectator sport. This is something where we're entering in to something that's happening that's going to serve a generation. And, you know, really, if the Lord doesn't return, it's going to serve multi-generations. So all over this congregation, if you could just raise your hand with me as we begin. You understand? Okay, guys, come around behind. Sorry about that. That way everybody can see him. Tom, come up and help me as we get in. Tom. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands right now as we begin this? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we recognize as a people that You're doing something here. God, we're so thankful that You've given us new. You've given us a day. You've given us a future. God, You've kept us together, kept us intact, and kept us going forward. Father, we want to say thank You for that. And right now, God, we know these kind of things are not just formalities and that the hand of man just schemes up, but we are looking for the commissioning of Your Spirit here tonight among us. So, presence of God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come right now and help us. Even though the hands of man are laid on, Lord Jesus, Your hands over our hands, commissioning, anointing, and sending forth. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank You.
Father, we thank You that these young people have come through the fire and are on the other side, Lord, and that the purposes of God were not aborted. Whereas the enemy was trying to destroy the seeds of the next generation and what went on, Lord, we thank You that that didn't happen. And while there are many that are still struggling, Lord, we're believing for them too. But this night, Lord, this is a sign in the earth. Lord, that the purposes of God are yes and amen, and the power of Your Spirit is raising them up. Not to go out and say, I told you so, but to go out and say, God is with us. Come into the things of God. And those we have known and those we have not known, Lord, we thank You that they are coming on account of this day, Lord. This day is not just about these, but it is about all those that they will reach. Lord, this generation is going forth tonight, and we thank You that heaven is saying yes and amen over them. Yeah. Father, right now we just ask that You would set Your hand on every one of them. And the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you right here.
There's just something about it. I just hear the Lord saying, your Jericho is ahead of you. There's something about crossing the Jordan. The children of Israel were fed by manna. And once they stepped across the Jordan, I hear this is a day of stepping across the Jordan. Your Jericho is ahead of you. There's days of circumcision, but there's days of, the Lord says, the land is before you. The land is before you. I've given it to you, and you've got to go take it. But these are the days, says the Lord, that you will be released into a merit and an honor and a taking of new ground, a seeing of my hand go before you to deliver and to cast out down the enemies before you. I will fight the battles for you, says the Lord, and I will be with you, and the land is before you. Go with your footsteps and take the land that the Lord has given you, says the Lord. Crossing of Jericho today.
I heard the voice of the Lord over this group of people. And He said, in the same way that I gathered those men in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and I had promised them fire. I had promised them fire. I promised them that I would come with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So this day, I am giving you, says the Lord, the fires of permission. The fires of permission. And Jesus, the fire baptizer, is here. And the day that you're going into, you're going to carry the flame of God above your head. And your vision is going to begin to get greater, and you're going to begin to see more things than you ever thought possible, and begin to think more things than you ever thought possible. And all the things that were dreams a day ago are going to begin to become tangible realities, because the fire of permission is burning on the inside of you, says the Lord. With the laying on of these hands, the fires of permission is burning on the inside of you. And I'm validating and stamping you, says the Lord, in the same way I stamped Peter, in the same way I stamped James, in the same way I stamped John, in the same way I stamped those men to do the will of God that I had in the earth. So this day I stamp you, declares the Lord, with my flame and my fire. So go forth and extend the kingdom in this day.
I'm seeing something here interesting. I'm seeing you go forth as a group, obviously leading a greater group, but I see two bags slung around you. And it's easy, I thought, what are these? Seed bags. But there, one of them was a seed bag, and you went forth and you sowed. You sowed new things. You sowed things in a generation. But that wasn't the only bag, because there was another bag upon you. And at the same time you were throwing seed and scattering seed, I also saw you bending down and picking up things. Bending down and reclaiming what was broken. Bending down and grabbing orphans along the way and putting them in a harvest bag, because you know they need family. You know they weren't created to be alone. They were created to walk in a family with God and His people. So God, we are asking for effectiveness in this group. Make them like arrows in Your hand. May they go forth and do the things, God, that would be right in the heart of what You're doing. And God, as they sow seed, may they also gather what was lost. As they sow seed, may they also reclaim and mend and work with what was broken. And God, may they become such a mighty army that they literally take a land. They take a land with kingdom expansion. Father, we desire that for them in Jesus' name. Can we do this right now as a people? Can we stand to our feet? Hallelujah.
When I think about you guys and just how perfect God's timing is, and that everything that you've been through, God uses it for His good, and He turns the bad around for good. He uses it for His purposes. And I just see you, because of what you've been through, being very perceptive to the enemy's schemes and more able to not fall for those things. And just also as being a covenant people that are committed to one another, and there is a real unity, and I just want to pray those things over you guys. God, I thank you that you are faithful and that your timing is perfect, and Lord, that you see everything, God, and you know that the things that you want to teach us, you know the things that you want to do inside each of us, and we trust you, Lord. God, we know that you are a good God. And Father, I pray that you would just come, and on each one of these, Lord, that you would just put covenant deep inside them, Lord, that you would draw them together as one unit, Lord, and that the people that they impart into, that would be key to what they impart into to one another, Lord, and their children and children's children, not just physical, but spiritual children that they'll raise up, God. Lord, we just bless them. We pray that you would pour out your favor upon them, God. And everything that you have purposed and planned for them to do, God, that those things would come to pass more than they could ever ask or imagine. God, you are an awesome God. You are so worthy of praise.
We know that marriage is a symbolic picture of the church. And I was thinking about this group, and as I'm looking upon them in this generation, and I'm thinking about the family nature of God, the covenant nature of marriage, and the bride and the groom, God really showed me a picture about a dowry. Many of the senior leaders that you see before you here have been depositing for years, and for some of these guys, it's been extremely costly. Relationships are expensive, aren't they? There's been a lot of deposit, and in some cases, there's been more withdrawals and deposits in some relationships. It's been very difficult. And I'm thinking about, because of the deposit that's been made by these, by these senior leaders because of the investment that they've made in these relationships, God is quite pleased. And it's as if I hear the voice of the Lord saying, you know, who gives this bride, this new bride, to be married to this groom? Who gives? Who has the authority now? And it's like because of the investment of the dowry and because of the investment that men have made into this generation, I see slowly in this great cathedral, I see the Father Himself rising up and saying, I give this bride. I give this church. I give these churches to this groom. It is I who grants the authority. And the word of the Lord for you, young people, is this: now go, be fruitful, and multiply. God the Father has ordained this moment. God the Father is quite pleased. And He says, go, be fruitful, and multiply. In Jesus' name.
Almost every one of you in this line sat in the Traveler's Hotel and listened to the stories of Narnia. And so tonight we say to you, higher up and farther in, higher up and farther in than any of us have ever gone. We're right behind you. We won't let you fall. We'll catch your children. We'll be with you every step. But you go higher up and farther in, higher up and farther in. Don't hold back. Don't be worried about what we have done wrong. Don't be worried about what we might want to do next. We're going to run fast to keep up with you. And you go higher up and farther in. Higher up and farther in.
Now listen, we are charismatics here. What that means is we believe in the Holy Spirit. His movement, His activity is just as valid and right and needed today as it was any other day in the past. And right now, I'm going to call upon all of us to pray out with the best prayer you have as we ask God's presence to come upon these people and seal them and anoint them. Are you up for this? I'm calling out for charismatics that believe that there is an unction and an anointing that's beyond man's ability. Come on, right now, begin to lift your voices in prayer. Come on, come on. Holy Father, we call out to you for generations here. God, we are asking for the anointing of your Spirit to fall upon these guys, to fall upon them now. God, let your Spirit fall. God, may they be people who are wind-driven. May they be driven about by the wind of God. May they follow the cloud of God. Father, anoint them. Holy Spirit, we need you. God, fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. Fill them up. In Jesus' name, pour your Spirit upon them. God, your Spirit upon them. In Jesus' name. And I say right now, hoist your sails. You that are getting prayed for, hoist your sails right now. Because of the wind of God is coming. And He's coming to blow you into places. Blow you into new days. Blow you into coastlands that are waiting for you. Come on, lift your sails. Lift your sails, O people of God.
Danny, you have been designated as the now leader of this group until so forth as God does something different. Hallelujah. And there are some thoughts on this, but it's this couple, they have some wisdom and they have some maturity, and we're very, very grateful that they're involved in with others in taking the wheel and guiding the ship. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
And Danny, would you pray first, and then would you say something? Whatever God puts upon your heart here, would you do that? And then let Sarah be included in this, okay? Don't you like them? Amen.
Father, we submit first to you. We come under you and we submit to you. We won't carry authority unless we're under authority. And Lord, right now we submit to you. And Father, we submit to our houses where you've called us to lay our lives. And we do so willingly and gratefully. So grateful, Father, that you've called us to be among such a great people. And Lord, in obedience to you and to your voice, Lord, we don't reach out for something, but we do receive it. We receive it, Father. And we say yes to your will. We say yes to your ways. Lord, we say yes to suffering. We say yes to vision. We say yes to sacrifice. We say yes to a harvest. We say yes to sowing. Our lives and the lives of the people we serve with. All our days, Lord, belong to you. All our days belong to you. Father, we say yes. Years ago, this church wasn't meeting in this building. 16 years ago, it was meeting in an old funeral hall, funeral parlor, or whatever it was. And I somehow slipped into a singles conference, of all things, when I was 16 years old. And I had no business being there. There was no reason for me to be there. But somehow, I conned somebody into getting me there. And I heard a term for the first time while I was there. And Doug Pegram was preaching. And I met my wife for the first time when I was there. I met and can encounter the real power of God for the first time when I was there. I had already made my decisions. But I encountered something else. And I heard a term that Doug preached on. It was an apostolic team. And I grabbed a post-it note and a pencil and wrote down this statement that I don't even remember anymore about what an apostolic company or an apostolic team was. And I wrote it down and I put it in my wallet. And for the next 2 years, I pulled that out. Until at last, it just disintegrated. It was gone. But by that time, what it was to be part of a company of people that built the church, that served the people of God, and it transferred from a post-it note, and it had been written on my heart. That transfer is what this generation is looking for. They're saying, where can I give my life? Where do I have value? Where can I be employed? And I know everybody on this team. Some of them I've known for almost that many years. And I know the quality of the disciples that this body of churches has made. And the commitment they have to the King and the kingdom and to one another. And I don't know what it looks like. Oh, my head's filled. Oh, it's full. And my heart is full of what it could be. And there's even a lot of ways, and there's many paths to get to where we need to be in the days ahead. But we need to lift our sails, and we have got to be full of the power and full of the Spirit and full of the ways of God. These guys, they've got the content of Christ. He's in them. They've got the character of Christ. They live it. But we need the Spirit of God to be direct with us and tell us where to go and what to do, because we don't know what lies ahead. but we'll follow him. And we'll follow you. We've done it for years. We'll continue to do it. We'll serve with you. We'll bleed with you. We'll do whatever God's asking of us to do.
I just want to thank you guys. I want to thank every leader here. Doug, for you know me like my whole life. Tom, thank you so much for all the times you came and gave your life and gave your time. And Andrea, all the times you gave your time to us. Thank you so much. It was worth it, right? He is faithful. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. I love you.
Can we just worship him for a moment? God, you're faithful. Come on, in your own way, in your own, out of your own voice, in the own song. God, we lift you high. God, be magnified. Oh, be lifted up.
There's one wonderful young man that's not up here tonight that's back home in Wyoming is Caleb Palmer. It's in back of that are part of this team. And if you know them, they are awesome people. And they couldn't be here tonight, but they're very much a part of this team. And can we just take a moment and pray for them and just cry out to God on their behalf? Father, right now we lift up this family, Lord, and this young couple. And Father, we ask that the power of your Spirit that has been on these young people here in this night of commissioning, Lord, would come upon them, and that they would also come under the same spirit of commissioning in these days. The creativity that is in this young man is essential for this team. And Lord, in his own life, Lord, these days are essential. Father, we're asking for the floodgates of heaven to open up over him and over her, Lord. And that the creativity of the Lord will begin to flow through them and in and out of them. Lord, that they will spill that out over on this team and over even on these churches, Lord. Even into the nations, even in this country, Lord. God, we're asking it to have no end, Lord. Let the creativity that is in them come through the family of God and bless and build and build. Lord, we thank you for them now. We ask that you would confirm this upon them. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Are you guys grateful to God that God is raising up the next generation? It's a sign of the things to come. God is doing great things. You know, I was just going to pass on this, but I don't think we're going to. I think we're going to do this. I sing this song about royal robes. You know, this is obviously talking about on the Lord. But man, as we began this night, I saw like this angelic, I don't know how to explain these things, but like this angelic attendant come, and he had his arm, and it was full of robes. And there were several of them, and it was a robe for every person standing here. And it's that there is a significant spiritual element coming upon your lives right now, like a cloak coming over you. There is some sort of supernatural transfer that is still going to happen here. And when I was just going to ignore this and move on, but when he sang that song, it's like, gosh, there is something to come upon your shoulders. Every one of you that is up here, just lift your hands. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is going to settle something on you. Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, that the things of God are real. The supernatural is real. And the spiritual things are real. Right now, Lord, the presence of God is coming down the front of this group. And one by one, Lord, there is something being set upon them, Lord. Being set upon them, upon their shoulders, Lord. That represents authority, ability, and when they walk into a room, Lord, even demonic spirits will know it. When they go to cities, Lord, principalities will know it. And when they go into campuses and universities, other young people will sense there is something unique about these men and women. It setting upon you right here. The Spirit of the Lord coming upon you. Let it come upon you. Can you just begin to pray in the Spirit right here? Something is coming upon them. It's coming upon them. There is a supernatural transfer.
May God help me say this clearly. Yesterday we were in worship. And I had this vision of a rope that was almost broken. It was damaged. It was ripped to shreds almost in certain pieces, but it was still connected. And I began to think about what had happened in the past and the work of the enemy that tried coming against Kirksville and all of our surrounding churches to destroy relationships and destroy the work of God that was going on there. And I saw that vision and I said to myself, well, Lord, you're going to have to tell me what that all means. And then when I saw you guys get up here, I was sitting back there with Nicole and I was looking through the scriptures and I began to ask her. I was going after the scripture, but I didn't know where it was. And I found it. It's in Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4:12, where one person is powerful, two people can defeat themselves, but three in accord is unbroken and cannot be defeated. And as I was sitting back there, I saw you guys all link arms. And when he began to do that, I saw an outroar of heaven and a cry out to God. We have not been defeated. And we are stronger now than we ever have been. And the health that is within all of you two right now and the family that is being united right now, it cannot be broken. It will not be broken. And the enemy has been defeated. Can we do that? Can we link arms right now? I want you guys to link arms. May the Spirit of God fall on you guys right now in the name of Jesus and the heaven and the fire right now in the name of Jesus, Father, right now. May the wind of your Spirit blow in this place and blow among your people, and may we not be defeated. We will not be defeated, but we will press forth. We will press forth and we will see your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah.
When Jeff started talking, I got the feeling that I had to come up here, but I just, I think it's really significant for our group. When Jeff started talking about the rope, it's, have you guys ever seen ropes that have started to fray at the end and they start to pull apart and become like strings and individual strings? And how, I don't know, my dad was a boater when I was little and he always told us, if you want to seal the rope, you set the end of it on fire. And it singes that thing and it seals it. And I think that is what God is coming to do. They've talked a lot about how this is the end, that this is the line in the sand. And I believe that you and the laying on of hands of you guys, that God came in His Holy Spirit and it's just singeing the end of that rope and sealing that thing. And as we're going forward and we can't go back to the past because it's singed off and it's sealed. It is done. It is done.
What I like about the last two prophetic words, it was from their own generation. This is what I saw going on. These people are not more special than anyone else, but they're offered their lives to serve us. And what I think would be awesome, rather than the mothers and fathers, it'd be their own generation to come up here and hug them and embrace them as a sign of, we anoint you to serve us and to help us. Other young people coming up saying, we receive you into our lives, help us. Could you guys do that? The other young people in this room, just come up here and embrace these guys as a sign of, we're going to work with you, we're going to follow you, you're going to help us. Is Doug Davenport still in here? Doug, where are you? Can you come and share this word with us before we go? This is a great word to go to the afterglow with. Emma came up and shared this with me too. We'll have Doug say. This is really
morning. As we were meeting together, I was looking at the tree, and it's on every one of our name tags. And what God said to me is that we've not been drafted, but we've been grafted in. And there is a grafting in of people that goes beyond just those at the leadership level that are called to serve full-time. But there is a grafting in of people across our family of families that E4 is a part of the mechanism that's going to help that happen. And what you've seen tonight is part of that grafting in. As they were linking arms, I saw it. That rope that's being brought together. And God is doing something. It's God's work. He's the one that grafts us together. It's not that we do it ourselves, but God is grafting us together. And tonight, this is part of God's victory. This is God's victory over the enemy schemes. And we are being led forth in His triumphal procession. We are the booty of God. We are what's been captured by Him. And tonight, God has grafted us in to something that's bigger than any one of us, bigger than any church, because it's part of the kingdom that He is Lord over. Father God, tonight, graft us in together. Graft us in together. There is something, God, that You are doing in our midst. And in these days, we require one another in ways that we don't even understand. Thank You, God, that You are raising us up together to serve the purposes of Your kingdom. May we tonight, God, recall the word that You have put within us from our brothers. May we hear Your voice in a clarion call, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, You are so awesome. You are so awesome. That You would love us, You would not leave us, Lord. You would not forsake us, but God, You would call us again unto Yourself, Lord. And in these days, there is great rejoicing. And Lord, tonight, as we move into a time of fellowship, one with another, Lord, it's a supernatural thing. It's not just natural. Lord, that grafting together, Lord, let it take place as we're fellowshipping together. Lord, may we sense that there's a greater purpose than just us getting to know one another. But God, Your purposes are going to prevail over our lives. Lord, bless the labor that's gone into preparing for this time of fellowship. For Lord, it's not just about the physical, but it's about the spiritual. And so Lord, we receive from Your hand the labor of Your laborers that are in our vineyard tonight. And let there be a sealing within us, Lord, of what You're doing in our midst. We receive it, Lord, tonight in Jesus' name.